It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on another huge weekend across Scottish football. Lauren Shanklin believes Hearts can knock Rangers out of the title race with a win at Tynecastle on Monday. Mikey Moore is adamant though Rangers can go on and win the title despite that disappointment against Motherwell. And speaking of Motherwell, Tawanda Maswanisi says he'd be open to staying at the Steelmen and taking on European competition next season. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Tony Watt and Gordon DL.
Yeah, as you quite rightly said, Gordon, another exciting weekend. The table at the top changes. Rangers drop back into third after a brilliant display from Motherwell, you've got to say, in the first half. Hearts Celtic both get their victories this weekend, right into bank holiday Monday. This 5:30 kickoff, Hearts and Rangers will be an absolute classic. And then you look down the bottom of the league, Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Dundee. Any of those three going to finish in 11th? And then obviously we're looking towards the playoffs after the championship finishes on Friday night.
Speaking of which, any truth in the rumours that you and Alex Ray have fallen out? Because you were partners here on a Wednesday night. He turns up last night, albeit late, I may add.
Is he late?
Did news not reach the Thistle dressing room? It's got to be a fine in that.
We were off a day because the game's Friday. So
surely that's a fineable offence.
I didn't see it last night. Did they win? Beat the pundit? Did
I actually
lose?
Can't even. No, he didn't play, I don't think. But I mean, I missed the start of the show.
He's
due to traffic.
That's a disgrace. But he flirted with that a few weeks ago, didn't he? Remember, he was late one of the times. No, I've not seen him the day. I've requested not to be alongside him because he's been pathetic on Beat the Pundit. But we're gearing up for a very, very good finish for the title. I remember watching it the weekend and it was all three teams were on 70 points at one point. Hibs were beating Hearts and Rangers were drawing at Motherwell before the goal. So it's just going to be the swings are going to be amazing. If Hearts can beat Rangers on Monday night, then I think you've probably got to say they've got one hand on the title.
Tony Watt and Gordon DL waiting for you, most importantly. So 0141 951 1025, what have you got for us tonight? Come on down and let us know. Regular listeners will probably acknowledge Tuesday night, you still deal with a bit of the fallout from the weekend. You've maybe got a bit more clarity to look back on it, analyse it. The emotion of a win or a defeat has maybe dropped slightly. So how do you look back on it? Something that we didn't get the chance to get round to last night because we were so caught up in the analysis of the matches was the player of the year. The four-man shortlist has been revealed. So let's really do that tonight. Let's give that a real good kick in between now and 8 o'clock. Maswanisi and Just from Motherwell, Shankland and Braga from Hearts. That's the four. So who's going to win out of those four? What do you make of that four-man shortlist? Is there anyone that was unfortunate to not be included? Is there any of those fortunate to be included in your mind? Of course, it is voted for by the players, but that doesn't stop us pretending that we know better. That's sort of the aim of the game. We didn't get the chance to do it last night, so let's do it this evening. We can hear from them all as well. So that's your four-man list. Braga, Shankland, Maswanisi, Just, two Motherwell, two Hearts. Who's going to win out of those four? Is that the right four? Is there anyone who's been hard done by? As we mentioned earlier, plenty of fallout still from the weekend, and it's all so important at the moment. Already, not only are people looking forward to Saturday's games, but it's Monday. Okay, that's when Hearts and Rangers take place. It's 6 days away, Gordon DL, but already that it's just, it's going to be unbelievable this end to the season.
Yeah, not just this weekend. I think Tony's right. You've got to be twisting turns here. Every single Tuesday I come in here, I'll be twisting turns. There's no doubt. At the top and at the bottom, let's be honest
but
about it.
What do you
it.
Make of Tony's assessment and others? And we'll hear from Lauren Shankland that Rangers' twists and turns are done if they don't win or if they lose at Tynecastle.
I'm with the boys in this. I think that it's a must win for Rangers to keep themselves in this title challenge. I don't think they can get away with going to Tynecastle, losing it and still look to go and clinch the title. Where I sort of listened to Tony saying it's Hearts is to lose. I've said that I think Hearts, if they win three games, I think that'll be enough. Now, I know people will look at it and say, well, they go to Celtic Park at the last game of the season. I know the goal difference isn't that big a gap that Celtic can make up, so Celtic could win it. But I think that I don't see Celtic winning all their games, right? I think there's too many difficult games there. They've still to play Motherwell, who were brilliant at Ibrox in the first half. They've still to play Rangers before even the Hearts situation. So for me, if it's Hearts, I think 3 wins gets them over the line. But it's 3 big wins because next Monday at 5:30, because Rangers will go there knowing they cannot afford to drop anything.
We'll see where the calls take us. We'll hear from some of the candidates as well. But give us just a flavour of your feelings on that 4-man shortlist for Player of the Year, because I'll always love it when we get a good debate going about who'll win it. Yep. We didn't get around to it last night. We'll do it tonight. Braga, Shankland, yep. Masuanisi, Just. What was your overall feeling?
I'll go first. I'm not surprised. I think it's a straight fight with Just and Braga. Okay. I think the two of them being absolutely brilliant. Now, I put the three Masuanisi in there as well, but I had left Shanklin out, not because I don't think he's had a great season. I had to pick four. At Celtic, for a midfield player, scoring 20 goals. Now, I know that he's not been prolific week in, week out, and you look at him and think his performances have been great. But you're a midfield player, Tony, in the Premier League, right? And Celtic haven't been the greatest this year, and you bagged 20 goals. I think you'd feel a wee bit unfortunate.
Yeah, I think selfishly he'll think he should have been in it. I had an argument with somebody on the golf course last week saying he'll definitely not be in it, because we speak about knowing what the players are going to vote for, and I just think his performance levels have hindered Celtic at a time, but adding the goals probably gets him away with that and gets him the results, so he's probably been the most important player. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's been up to the level overall play. I think he's a good player. I think he'll go and have a career, and I think Celtic will sell him for a lot of money. But I think Just and Masuanisi have basically took Motherwell where they are, obviously added in with other players. Shankland, I said, probably wouldn't be in it, but because he's injured.
Who did you have in?
I had Fernandes. It's Fernandes, Masuanisi, Braga, and I can't remember the fourth.
Just.
Was it Just? I think it might have been Just. Just because, and obviously a shout out for the boy Ward as well for what he's done, even at the weekend, he looked brilliant again in terms of his overall play from a goalie. But I just think Negrin was on the periphery for me just because his overall play.
Well, there we go. There's always a good debate because everyone's got an opinion on it. That's your 4-man shortlist. Who'll win it? What did you make of the list? Get your calls in. And we're still reflecting on the weekend's games, what it means for the title race, and so on. So with that in mind, let's dive in with Craig, who's going to kick us off tonight with a Rangers point. Hi, Craig.
Hiya, good evening, guys. How are you all?
Good, thank you. What made you call tonight, Craig?
Hi, so I'm no one to talk about Player of the Year.
That's fine.
I'm no interested because I'm a Rangers supporter. But basically, I was on a couple of weeks ago. I fought a 8-goal thriller with Dazzle and beat the pundit, and he beat me on a tiebreaker. So
And you came back to face the music. That is brave.
That's what I was going to say. I'm just a bit brave enough to get myself back out there again. But anyway, the reason I phoned up was to discuss a wee bit about Danny Rowe, because when I was on, you guys asked me kind of my thoughts on kind of how he was getting on. And I thought he's done well to get us to the position that we're in. I'm not advocating at all that he should be under pressure, whether we win the league or not, because, you know, he came in and he picked out a couple of good players and Chukwani, Tour Romans, and we'll just forget Scovolta never happened, to be honest with you. But at that time, it was just before we played St Mirren, and I said some of his decisions stink of naivety. He's been playing it far too safe. For example, against Celtic, Majovski was on the bench, didn't come on, we were chasing a goal. Could have done better. At the weekend there, he didn't start his strongest 11. We know that. Mikey Moore should have started, and it was plainly obvious Mikey Moore should have started. He didn't make changes, when he should have. Everybody knew that halfway through the first half, there should have been changes made. We should have had an extra 20 minutes to try and get ourselves back into the game, but instead we went in. There was all the booze at halftime, and that must have affected everything as well. I just don't think because he's a young coach, he's no been in the game too long, he doesn't have that killer instinct, and he's making decisions that are costing us. A Steven Gerrard would have played his best 11 right away. Walter Smith would have played his best 11 right away. We're four games away from the end of the league title. We should be playing the best 11 we've got at all times. We should be making changes when they're required. At the moment, I just don't think Rowe's got that in him. And because of that, I think he's going to make more mistakes from now to the end of the season. I don't see us being able to beat Hearts and Celtic at two games in a row. If we do, then game on. Fantastic. But see, right now, I just don't think that we've got... I don't think he's got it in him. And I think what he needs to do is he needs to get his own players in the summer, and he needs to find a system that he likes and he works, and he needs to be consistent with it. I don't think it's a good idea for him to be playing 4-4-2. I don't think it works against most of the teams. I think we get played through too often. And the defending was shambolic at times on Sunday. Motherwell had us on toast. That's been brewing in my head for about 3 days now, and I just wanted to voice that and see what you guys thought.
Yeah, the only thing I will say, Craig, maybe in the manager's defence with Mikey Moore, who I totally agree with you. I think he's been fantastic. He's one of the top players for Rangers. But he come off at half-time against Falkirk. He might have just been carrying a little niggle that he decided he wasn't going to risk him from the start. I don't know. I'm just second-guessing because even if he makes the substitutions and he goes two up top against Falkirk, and Rangers were brilliant second half and the two centre-forwards scored four goals between them, Mikey Moore would still probably stayed in the pitch if he was fit. So I don't know if he's got a wee niggle. I do agree. I think there are two massive games coming up for Rangers, and I would probably look first and foremost at Monday at 5:30 Tynecastle, because if they don't get anything there, forget even the Celtic game. The Celtic game will take care of itself, but they will not go on to win the league.
Is it a horses for courses thing, Tony? Because Craig says he generally is not a fan of 4-4-2 and doesn't think it works against most teams. It has worked for Rangers, but it might be the last team in the league that it would work against would be Motherwell in terms of what that does to your midfield.
Yeah, I think against Motherwell, you probably need that extra body in midfield with Diamandé, the kind of defensive... He's got a bit more steel compared to maybe a Miovski who...
Even just a numbers game, though.
Yeah, and I think Miovski's not really going to be the biggest grafter up front either, so when you need pressure on the ball against Motherwell, I don't think he's the type of guy that can do it for you. I think Danny Rowe loves the 4-4-2. He loves two strikers. There's no getting away from that. I totally get it. That's the way he plays. But for me, you need to be a wee bit more mindful. Motherwell are a team that dominate possession. I know it was at Ibrox, and probably arrogantly you think we're going to dominate them. But Motherwell are a right good footballing side, and I think he probably got it wrong at the weekend. He made changes at half time. It worked, and then they just kind of ran out of steam at the end of the game. So, look, I think he's proactive. He does make changes at half time, but
should have made it before that, Craig. I mean, it was quite evident, really, how quickly it was all unraveling in that first half, wasn't it?
And 100%. It was going on, and we were just being, you know, we were trying to press Motherwell, but they were just passing the ball right past us, and the ease of which that we were able to get cut up on that kind of that left with their left side, our right side, that was really surprising for me, because I always see Sterling as quite a good dependable right back whenever Tavernier's not playing, but it really didn't work the other night. And the difference that Tavernier made, and a lot's been said about Tavernier, you know, he's announced that he's obviously leaving, but our first goal came from a Tavernier corner. We couldn't hit a barn door. Like, we couldn't hit a corner past the first man before Tavernier came on. It probably went a wee bit far, but it headed it back in, and we got the goal from that. And I said to my pal at the game right away, if Tavernier wasn't on the park, we're not scoring that goal. It was quite telling that the changes made such a big, big difference. And, you know, obviously really disappointed in losing that last gasp goal. It really did kill us. And it's probably killed our chances. But we'll obviously do what we can. And hopefully we can get a result over the next couple of games and put a bit of pressure on them and put Celtic in a position where, on the last game of the season, they can either win and help us win the league, or lose and give the league to Hearts. You know, so we'll just need to see how it goes.
The only thing I will say on the subject of his formation, he likes two up front. They're the top goal scorers in the league. You know, they've scored 68 goals this season. I just thought at the weekend, right, and I did expect Rangers, because it was at Ibrox and the amount of goals that had been scored, I thought that Rangers would have won the game. But I've got to say, I think you've got to give all the credit in the world to Motherwell. They were absolutely brilliant. Yes, at times it was a bit easy. The third goal summed it up for me. That was schoolboy amateur stuff from Rangers. It was too easy for Motherwell, especially with the quality they've got, and they actually punished them, Rangers. And to be fair, they deserved the 3 points.
Is that where you almost do have to be a bit more mindful of specifically what you're up against, like we said? Because I kind of thought along those lines with you as well. You're thinking Rangers have started scoring a lot at home, mm-hmm. Motherwell now have actually started conceding, but you almost forget how good the Motherwell team is at doing what they do. What, like, why, at a bare minimum, surely you need the same number of midfielders in there to try and
counteract the only thing, right, he makes a change against Falkirk, Gordon, at half time, and the bang-ins, they score 5 goals or something in the second half. The two strikers get 4 between them. You look at the form of Motherwell turning up at Ibrox. They weren't great form.
I know, but the performance levels have kind of been the same.
Yeah, and he's maybe looked at that and thought, right, we'll probably go and try and put Motherwell on the back foot here. We'll be on the front foot. We're scoring goals. We're at Ibrox. This is 3 points. But what he didn't come in for is the fact that Motherwell in possession, especially first half, were a treat to watch. They were absolutely brilliant.
But even Rangers out of possession, the first goal was embarrassing. I seen it on Twitter, just kind of debriefed, and it was like Raskin goes to jump into Slattery and Motherwell are nippy, they're in wee pockets, mm-hmm. and they get forward quick, and Slattery drags in Raskin, plays the ball round him, runs off him, and Raskin and Asgard just jog back. And that's nothing to do with Danny Rowe, that's to do with
a desire,
and if they'd a sitting midfielder there, maybe he plugs that gap. But the boy Fadinga runs on, him and Slattery are attacking the box, are both in front of Raskin and Asgard, I think it is. That's just desire. That's not Danny Rowe, that's not his tactics. That sets the tempo for a Marvel team who, by the way, at Ibrox, if you score first against them who are on a bad run, their heads can go down. They score early on and then they go, right, we'll just dominate you. That's the worst thing Rangers could have done.
Craig, so bigger picture, you've said about, you know, the game against Hearts. What's your sort of gut telling you about the likelihood that Rangers win this league from this position?
I think that if we can make a statement against Hearts, then we can go into the Celtic game with confidence. I don't necessarily think it's beyond us to, you know, beat Celtic at Celtic Park, because, you know, I think everybody knows that they're not great either. But, you know, it really does. I think what Dad said earlier, kind of 100% true. It all depends on what happens Monday night. If Monday night doesn't go well, even if it's a draw, that's game over, you know, and we've got nothing left really to play for. And at that point, I'm just hoping that Hearts can hold out, because the last thing in the world we need, as insufferable as Hearts fans will be for the next 40 years for winning one league, Celtic fans are going to be even worse. So let's just cross our fingers.
Well, Craig, I'm afraid you need to humour me, because you've came on, said you're not interested in the player of the year. We're going to debate it at some point. There might be no Rangers players in it, but of those four you've faced, who deserves to win it?
Claudio Braga. I think Claudio Braga really... I think that a lot of... Talking about player of the year, there was a lot of talking about manager of the year and stuff. I don't think manager of the year should be in any... there shouldn't even be a question about that. And the same goes for the players. I think that given that Derek McInnes has been top of the league now for 30-odd weeks, and even if he doesn't win the league, he's the manager of the year. He's taken Hearts from bottom six to genuine title challengers. And part of the reason that's happened is because Braga's played so well. I would give them both to them right now. Even if Danny Rowe or Martin O'Neill won the league, I still don't think they would be manager of the year, because I think you have to look at it far more holistically. Mm-hmm. Who has done a better job?
What happens, Craig, if they win the double? If Celtic win the double?
I still don't think that over the course of the season, mm-hmm. because obviously Martin O'Neill didn't start the season. He was away for however many weeks it was. Nancy was there. Over the course of the season, if you're thinking about who has done the better job with the squad that they had, I think Derek McInnes wins it. And, you know, Askew's done very similar, but I don't think that somebody who finishes fourth should be in that conversation. I would give it to Derek McInnes this Sunday, and I would give it to Braga as well.
We've turned into a manager of the year debate. I was only asking for the player, but good input from Craig. Claudio Braga, he says, get your calls in, whether it's on that, on the weekend's action, title race, anything you fancy, and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Diehl and Tony Watt are here at 0141 951 1025 to join in. Let's hear from Rangers' Mikey Moore. He's adamant they can still win the league despite slipping to third, and he's once again, of course, approached the subject of whether he would stay at Ibrox beyond the end of this season.
I don't think it's an impossible task. I think if we show the best versions of ourselves, we can. We have more than enough to win every game left. I see the way the boys are now. There's only one focus. There's nothing. We're not thinking about a negative side of it now, because you can't dwell on it. So there's full positivity in the group, and we need the leaders to really drive it now. For me, I want to be playing where I want to play as much football as possible. I want to keep playing games. I want to know that every week I've got a chance of playing. So for me, wherever that's going to be, I'm not going to rush into playing somewhere higher than what I can play.
Not an impossible task. I don't think anyone's saying it is. That's maybe a stretch. But what are you thinking, John, as a Rangers fan? Where does it leave you after Sunday?
Well, I'm disappointed in the fact that whatever they did in the coaching when they were over in Spain, I mean, it was the way they allowed Motherwell, the first and third goals, quick throwouts from the goalkeeper. We took too long to clear the box. And then I'm disappointed in our player for the third goal. Why did he not pull a guy down and give a foul away and take a booking, take a hit for the team to stop him? It was a good second half performance, but we're starting taking too long to start. There's not so much intensity. The same that happened at the Falkirk game. Do they need a half-time pep talk to do this? Really, I thought the coaching staff, they showed a wee bit of naivety in Sunday's game.
Listen, I think it was a real disappointing one for Rangers. Of course it was. It drops them down to third. But if you give a team of Motherwell's quality, and let's be honest, they've been absolutely brilliant this season. I know they had a small bit of a dip in the last 3-4 games, but if you give Motherwell that space, especially at Ibrox, with the way they move the ball, their work rate, that's the one thing about Motherwell is you will never fault them for their work rate. Their work rate was absolutely brilliant. I think a lot of Rangers fans could question one or two players from Rangers. I don't think put the shift in.
See, on that though, right, I know there's those moments and there's clips and I've seen them, but I mean, we'll never be privy to it, but Rangers will have the data. They'll know how far their players ran. They'll know what their high intensity runs were, etc. Is it not worth acknowledging that because of how good Motherwell were, I know I'm bound to say this, but they drag you into places, they create bigger recovery runs than you think you're going to have to make and all that stuff. I feel like we always simplify it too much here and say, Rangers just didn't try hard enough. I think that does Motherwell complete disservice.
No, I don't think that's what I was saying there.
I'm not saying you specific, but the whole theme of this conversation is that, you know, everyone was allowed to run or allowed to do this or allowed to do that.
Rangers,
like it's all by design.
Yeah, Rangers could not match the way Motherwell went about their business. I thought the first half Motherwell absolutely schooled Rangers. I really did. I thought they were brilliant. Their movement, you know, just their one-touch football at times. They're taking up positions. They moved the ball quickly. And I don't think Rangers had any answers to it at all.
That first goal doesn't happen at, let's say, a Steven Gerrard team or an Ange Postecoglou team, because what they should have done is when they... Slattery does brilliant, like he does. I was championing for Team of the Year. He drags you in, he passes the ball, but if Raskin puts his head down and does a simple thing that's free and that's run and just sprints back, he can stop that goal. I think Motherwell are brilliant at it and I think they suck you in, but Raskin's not a natural defensive-minded player. He's more of a footballer, gets on the ball. I think
is he? I mean, what's he there for? He's Rangers number six, as they say in the model. And he's not, and by the way, if anything, what you usually hear is Rangers fans saying he's not that absolute playmaker that pulls strings and creates.
He's not a creator.
So what's he there for?
He wants to play number six because he thinks that's the best chance to get in the World Cup squad. That's the narrative around him. That's what Rangers fans say. I've seen it. I've watched him play. He's a good, He's good at attacking the ball. He's good at getting in the box. He's probably a better number eight, but he wants to go to the World Cup as the starter for Belgium, which is fair play. But I think he's better as an eight, and I think he's not the type of guy to break up play. And I think that when you watch that clip and you see the ball going back the way, all he has to do is put his head down and sprint.
I feel like for years we've been told that his strength is breaking up play.
Mm-hmm.
And ratting around people, and
that's my opinion.
He's timed his runs a few times and scored good goals and for set plays and everything like that. I think you need a little bit more out of him.
I agree.
I don't see him as a creator. I don't see him getting the ball and splitting defences open with that one killer pass. He's not that kind of player to me. He's a guy that'll go and work in Midley Park.
Because Elliot Watt did that all day long.
Yeah, on the other side. Listen, Motherwell, I said that, and you've got to give credit to the opposition. Rangers had no answers, especially the first half. They'd absolutely no answers to the way Motherwell's rotations were. Their movement, everything off the ball, with the ball, everything about it. Everybody knew where they were. It was completely different with Rangers, and I think you've got to give all the credit to Motherwell.
So how does this play out then, John? If you're worried that there's certain themes developing, can you see Rangers winning the league from here?
Very hard, because I don't have any fears about Rangers beating Hearts on Monday, because Rangers and Celtic have lost games against teams this season. Twice Hearts have beat us, and they beat Celtic also. We beat them. It's the game after that at Parkhead. That's the real crunch. I think Rangers will beat Hearts on Monday. They're a hard-working team, Hearts. They have a couple of outstanding players. But Rangers should be able to get more out of some of our players. And the chap's right about moving off the ball quick. So is Gordon. And I just think that the management team should know by now you've surely got to start the game the way they do it, not the way they did at Falkirk or the way they did on Sunday. I know it's down to some of the opposition, the movement off the ball now, but all that can be curtailed so they can. I've got a plan. To say I was disappointed is to say putting it mildly, honestly.
Is there also a case to say, though, because there's two things. There's tactically what we spoke about there, and then identifying where it goes wrong, making personnel changes, changing shape, but also... I don't know if it's psychologically, if you can't sort of come out at 2-0 down and give it. Ibrox was absolutely rocking at the weekend, so it should be quite easy to then sort of, do you know what I mean, throw everything at it when you're 2-0 down. The place erupts because, you know, it was a good move up initially. Paul McGinn slips, you get a goal, roof comes off, next it's a set piece. You know, that I don't think it's by design that they sort of start slow and then decide to get better, is it?
No, I don't think it is. Because let's be honest about it, right? At the start of the game, before they left that dressing room, that would have been the manager's instructions. Let's get on the front foot here. Let's get at Motherwell. They've not been in brilliant form, as in winning games. Let's get at them. We're at Ibrox. This place, as you say, get the fans up for it. Get them off their seats. Get them excited. And then the energy goes from there. But they didn't know Motherwell's game plan was the minute Motherwell got the ball, didn't give them it back. They were absolutely brilliant.
Do you think they were spooked a bit? Not maybe spooked is the right word, by the fact that Motherwell played without a striker. So you could see the uncertainty between Fernandes on one side, Giga on the other. Don't really know, because everybody knows in the last few weeks, if there is a way to try and stop, all the teams have been going man to man and matching up everywhere. So if you're Fernandes or you're Giga and you're looking for Masuenisi because he's your man, what's he doing over at the dugout? I'm a centre half. I know I've been told that I have to follow him, but I can't go out to the dugout. Did that catch them off guard?
I think that's where Rangers maybe lack a wee bit of experience. Somebody just to in the game to just pull everybody together and kind of sort that out. And that's where, all credit to the Motherwell manager, he's showed time and time again this season that he can cause problem to opposition. And I think if Rangers maybe had a lead in the middle of the park or the middle of the defence, I can't see Fernandes or Giga pulling people in and organising as much. And that's where people say, in the title running, experience might be key, and I think that's where they might lack.
I don't understand why the Rangers manager didn't learn from, because I was at the game at Fir Park, Gordon. Rangers went one up very early. We were asking, Motherwell went down to 10 men. And I sat there and I thought to myself, who is the team that's got the advantage here? Because Motherwell were absolutely brilliant, and it was all down to the movement, rotations, and eventually get back into the game and got a 1-1 draw. So he knew that he was coming there with a game plan, so he had to be ready for it. And to be fair, you're right, all of a sudden as a centre-half, you're thinking, right, where's the guy I play against today? But it was their movement. It wasn't like Maswanisi was just standing over. Their movement from middle of the park, Stephen O'Donnell, left back, getting up and down, and the way they worked it and how they put the ball out for them back. I thought Motherwell were brilliant.
John mentions Spain at the start. We'll never know what Rangers did in Spain, what they worked on, how much was work, how much was relaxing. No idea. Not privy to that information, obviously. It's just such an unforgiving scenario, isn't it? If you go away, remember with Dubai and all yep. that, if you go away,
got to win when you come
home. Yeah. You got to win when you come back. Because by the way, Hearts went away as well, and they won the Edinburgh Derby, and nobody questions it.
That's, as players, they must be thinking next year we're not getting that break. They needed to win that first one back so they'll get a bit of sun next year. Hearts are guaranteed to go away next year. Rangers are staying here.
Ever had a warm weather training camp that was did not result in good form?
Not that I can remember, but I've definitely played in friendly games over there where you get battered because you've obviously had your nights out or whatever, and it's been a tough game. You play against some random team that are amazing that you wouldn't expect.
It's always going to get thrown up in your face. If you go away and you're lording it in Spain and getting treated very well, nice weather, when you come home, especially if you're playing at Ibrox, you have got to go and win that game because you know what's coming. You know what's coming.
It does show that you can sort of counteract that stuff if you do your job well enough, if you're Motherwell, or if you don't do your job sufficiently if you're Rangers. Because I think everybody this weekend felt different. I felt like Celtic Park was the loudest it's been for probably all season. It felt like the season was getting towards the end, and it felt like the fans were trying to kind of do something about it. Ibrox was the same, to be fair. It was so loud. You need a bit in the pitch to kind of match that.
Yeah, and to be fair to Rangers fans, as you said, you were there, you were watching the game. They played their part. So you can't just keep saying, and I know they get booed off the pitch at half time. That's just what happens at Ibrox, because the demands are so high, especially with what's going on in this league this year. You can't be afford to be, you know, looking at Motherwell and thinking, by the way, they've just schooled us for 45 plus minutes here and we're in real trouble. So if the fans are doing their bit, then it's up to the manager and the player to do their bits as well.
John, I know it wasn't your core point, but Braga, Shankland, Maswanisi are just, who tickles your fancy for player of the year?
Oh, I think Shankland.
Okay, good answer from John. We've got a nice spread already. That was John on the line. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Grade one. £790,000. An unbelievable sum of money that you could have in your bank account in a few days' time. Do not hang around. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there as well. Or call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at your standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watts here alongside Gordon DL. They're about to be joined by Jim, who's on the line. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine, thanks, guys.
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
I think everybody's missing a trick here.
Right.
I mean, Hearts won their game, but they were playing against nine men at the end. The goalie was sent off really early. And then did they not get another player sent off as well?
Yeah, nine. Mm-hmm. You said, yeah.
So they were playing against nine men. Everybody thinks they're superstars.
Who said they're superstars?
Well, everybody's going on about their player of the years and they're all that kind of thing. You know, they're good. They're not a bad team, but, I mean, Motherwell were okay in the first half. They played really well, but Rangers were awful in the first half. And they picked up a bit, and then, I mean, I phoned you and since after the game, and I didn't get on the other day, but I thought that Fernandes was absolutely awful at the weekend. I don't know whether he's trying to work a way out of the, you know, away from Rangers or something, because just the way his attitude was rubbish.
So revisit the Hearts point for me though. The player of the year thing is just separate. Like, this is a season's worth of work. The other players have said they reckon Shankland and Braga are two of the top four. What's that got to do with them not taking, you know, taking a while to break down the nine men at the weekend?
Well, the thing, I mean, they managed to break them down. Everybody's going on about, you know, they're great, they've won, but I mean, they're playing nine men. They should be able to scud them.
Jim, do you not think you go to give Hearts a little bit of credit? They've been top of the league since what, September or something? Nearly 30 weeks or something, they've been top of the league. Look, you can look at that derby. That was a big, big game for them. It's not their fault that Hibs went down to nine men. They've still got to go and do the job. But they're still sitting up there. And right now, they'll probably be, if they beat Rangers on Monday, and I said if, then it's a two-horse race, isn't it? You know, you look at Celtic and Rangers are gone. So I think you've got to give them a little bit more credit than just saying, look, everybody thinks they're superstars. Nobody does. But you've got to give them credit for what they're achieving this year.
See, in fairness, Tony, Hearts have got a completely different set of expectations to Celtic and Rangers. We know why, obviously. Don't need to revisit about budgets and history and all that sort of stuff. So I don't think anybody has waxed lyrical over Hearts' actual performance levels, if you like, for ages. It's all been about, can they win games? They've gone and won another one, which leaves you with four games to go, and they're still top of the league. So that's what the weekend was about. I don't think anyone even is really, Jim saying, you know, why is nobody mentioning that they kind of stumbled over the line against nine men? Probably because it doesn't really matter that much for them at the moment.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's harder to play against 10 men than 11, because they'll be super focused, they'll be in a shape, they'll try not to concede, and they will just defend for their lives. Everybody will be back. When it goes to nine, I get that's a little bit easier, and then it opens up for Hearts. They go and get the job done, and it's not their fault that they didn't ask them to get sent off. They just get beat what's in front of them.
Is it not all about just getting the job done, Jim, at the moment?
The other thing, guys, is both Rangers and Celtic have been absolutely minced this year because they've had a muck-up with their managers. I mean, Rangers were... How many points was it? Was it up to 14 at one point?
13, I think.
They were behind. So they've done quite well. Celtic have done quite well as well, you know, with their muck-up with managers. And I think that the signs are better at Rangers. But, I mean, the thing in Saturday... When did Hearts play Sunday?
Sunday.
I mean, you're toiling and scoring late on in a game against nine men. Give us peace.
No, I think, Jim, just trying to sort of do Hearts a disservice is bizarre. They may well, you know, be facing not ideal versions of Rangers or Celtic. I think Rangers' last turnover was like four times what Hearts is. So there's no taking away from what Hearts have done here, surely.
They've done all right.
No, but that's the thing. That's a crazy word to choose in this circumstance. All right.
Aye.
No, come on.
Because both Rangers and Celtic have been minced.
Yeah, but I've just said. But think that's fine. That's fine. But think of the gulf that they face at the start of every season. It then gets to January. Hearts are top. Look at what Rangers do. Look at the checks that Rangers go and sign in January to try and catch this Hearts team. You cannot say Hearts have just done all right.
How much was the check that they signed?
Well, how many players did they buy?
Five, six, 7 million. Well, there's some in loaners or not.
Right, and do they come free? Do you pay their wages, no?
Aye, you've got to pay that. Aye.
Right, way more than Hearts could ever pay. Same goes for Celtic, by the way. I'm not turning this into a Rangers thing. So both Glasgow needs to acknowledge what Hearts has done, whether Celtic and Rangers have been bad or not.
I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but
Jim, let's think on a very general level. How can you describe, in a country that no team outside of Glasgow has won the league for 40 years, a team has led the entire season, you've described it as all right. You must realise that's unfair.
But you've got to agree that both Rangers and Celtic have been absolutely shocking this year with their managerial situations. I mean, they gave them so many points of a start, and then they're chasing back. And
they've still not caught them yet.
No, they've not caught them yet, but give it time.
Well, you've not got that much time, though. That's the point.
It'll be an absolute laugh if the bubble bursts, by the way.
Would you say, Jim, if Hearts turn Rangers over at Tynecastle, that's Rangers' challenge finish?
Very possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a difficult game because you're looking and you're talking about this Hearts team. This Hearts team have turned Rangers over and turned Celtic over. You know, I still believe that they should get a lot of credit for what they've achieved this season. I know the arguments about the managers at Rangers and obviously the signing policies and players are brought in, but they've got bags and bags of money. I think Hearts have recruited very well. Everybody was waiting for a bubble to burst. We've been sitting here for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. The minute they get a bad result, you're thinking, okay, that's a bubble going to burst. We're now four games left and they're still sitting top of the league.
It's a heck of a bubble bursting. You know, Hearts might not win the league, but see if they don't, I don't think that means the bubble burst, because it's the 28th April. They're still top.
See the fact that people are saying it'll be a disappointment if Hearts don't win the league. They finished in the bottom six last year.
Oh, but to be fair, it will still be a disappointment from this position.
Yeah, but agreed, but they'll still have had an unbelievable season. They'll still have led the... Don't get me wrong, they'll feel like it was an opportunity missed, but McInnes has come in and changed Hearts massively. The mentality to win that many games, it's been unseen before outside Celtic and Rangers. McInnes never appointed Nancy, and McInnes never appointed Russell Martin, so to say that... that's got any relevance on how Hearts have done. He's beat what's in front of him and he's got them 3 points ahead of Celtic in the title race.
But we kind of always do this where it's as if two things can't be true at once. You can acknowledge Celtic and Rangers have been bad versions of themselves. That doesn't mean that the job Hearts has done gets reduced to all right.
No, I think that's a bit unfair. I really do.
An all right season for Hearts is... Fourth, fifth, maybe.
And I think every Hearts fan will be looking at this team and thinking that they eventually will go over a line. That's how good they've been this season. Still a bit of football to be played, I've got to say, but they've kept themselves in such a great position. As I say, they've been entertaining, they've had to grind it out at times, but they've got good players. They've got two guys up front that are probably the best partnership in Scotland by a country mile. So, and their manager has been excellent. So you've got to give them a bit of credit. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to win the league, but I'll tell you what, they're certainly put themselves in a good position to do it.
Lauren Shankland thinks they can knock Rangers potentially out of the title race by beating them on Monday.
I think it does have a wee bit of a kind of cup final feel about it in that terms. I think at that point, if you were to win, it would become pretty difficult for Rangers to win the league just based on the amount of games left to play. And for us, we kind of need to approach it the same way. If it becomes a two-horse race after that, you've got even more chance of winning it. So it'll be a big game, obviously, the build-up to it will be huge. But just if it's a game you win, we increase our chances of getting to win the league, and that's the most important thing for us. I think especially now after fixture one, I think for everybody, they know that if they win four games, then they'll win the league, and that's the case for all teams. So we're all kind of in the same boat with that. What Celtic do have is experience. They obviously winning leagues in the past, that's something that they do have up in us. But listen, we've had a lot of success against the teams that we're about to play in the remaining games of the season. Got a good points return against them, and we just need to continue to do that. Bring the best version of us, and we can win games. We've shown that.
Let's see if Gordon DL and Tony Watt are the best version of themselves when we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's been a while since you two were on together, since Tony and Alex started their Partick Thistle bromance on a Wednesday night. Have you any idea how enthusiastic this guy is
he
for Beat
it,
the Pundit?
He?
He's got a Beat the Pundit tattoo.
Love it.
Seriously. Do you?
No, it's coming soon.
How is your record?
7-1, I think, or 6.
Oh, he thinks.
He thinks.
Checks
7-1.
Three times a day.
7-1.
I think I've been beat once. Now, by the way, just as a disclaimer, I got beat by having four correct answers, which is not embarrassing.
0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Gordon DL are here. It's Tuesday night, which means still plenty of leftover talking points from the weekend. We haven't got our teeth right into the player of the year debate, though. We know that it's Elijah Just or Tawanda Masuanisi or Claudio Braga or Lauren Shankland. But who should win out of those four? And is that the right list in your opinion? We can do that between now and 8 o'clock. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Both of you in good form, winning your previous outing. You won 6-1 last week.
Did you? 6-1, mate.
Love that.
Just right. A 4-3 for you. Bit
messier. 4-3, yeah, 4-3 is good.
Clyde's really helped my reputation about people saying I'm stupid. Clyde's really right. Bringing is me up in the world, which I love, and I like to thank Clyde and all the producers.
Well, because you won 6-1 at Beat the Pundit.
Well, every week I'm on, I win. But
so what, people used to say you're stupid and now they say you're not as daft as they thought because yes. You're winning at Beat the Pundit.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope he gets gunned.
It's back to square one. Dominic is on the line. Hi, Dominic.
Hi there, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Is this a Beat the Pundit debut for you?
It's a debut, yes.
Brilliant. Do you have a preference? Tony Watt, I feel like he needs brought down a peg or two.
Tony Watt's a hero of mine after his goal against Barca.
Oh, Dominic. Seriously. What a man.
There's a few things you're not allowed to do on this show. Swear, say anything that's going to get us in legal trouble, or mention Tony's goal against Barcelona. Yeah. That seems
every
seems
week
fair.
It is now, innit? No. Good, keep it going, Dominic. Don't mind that.
Are you coming back round now? Because for years you were sort of like,
oh, I'm not getting any younger. Am I?
After dinner circuit, is that?
Well,
like,
I've heard that that's a fruitful.
Is that lucrative?
A fruitful circuit.
How bad must Barcelona be?
I know, they were rubbish that night.
Do you know what I mean though? Because for a while, I think we've even spoken about this before, it became like, not that you didn't want, yeah, you
it was almost like
you didn't want to talk about
half
it.
Half embarrassing, wasn't it? Like, people would mention it and you'd be like, I know I'm going to get told, oh, you live off that, you dine out on that
and
for
then
the rest of your career.
And then do you feel it, on a semi-serious note, do you think it became loaded as if like, look at that high, and then
yeah,
like
anything I done,
you can't match that.
Anything I done after that, the best thing for me to do was leave Celtic because I would never ever have matched that. And I'm happy how my career played out, and that's just the kind of pinnacle in it.
It's not finished yet, by the way.
Plays out.
You're still going to try and get Thistle promoted.
Oh, that would be right up there.
Don't need to be looking back just yet. Right, Dominic, the blue side of the coin is for Tony Watt, and the red side is for Gordon Deal. I remember cursing your double at Fir Park when you came on.
Oh, that was a throwback.
I remember that well. Ruined my weekend. And it is red for Gordon Deal.
Okay.
You happy?
Yeah.
Right, let's give Gordon Deal something else to listen to. He'll come back in a minute. He'll try and sing the song. The lyrics will be wrong. You'll know how this works. Dominic, you've got 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and fire through them, that is absolutely allowed. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Put your headphones back on, Tony Watt. I can hear the music through your headphones. Right, 30 seconds to Dominic, and your time starts now. Claudio Braga joined Hearts from a club in which country?
Sweden.
Who's older, Elijah Just or Tawanda Maswanisi?
Maswanisi.
Alan Hansen joined Liverpool from which Scottish club?
St Mirren.
Name either Celtic player to win player and young player in the same season.
Sean Maloney.
How many Scottish managers have won the European Cup or Champions League?
Three.
The Jail End can be found at which Scottish Championship stadium? Okay, let's bring them back. They are tough tonight.
Are they?
You're in trouble.
Okay.
What song were you listening to?
Just can't get enough.
Oh, that's an easy one.
Depeche Mode.
I said when you.
Is it?
Depeche. I said you were yeah. Bound to get the lyrics wrong, but even you couldn't mess those ones up. Are you ready?
Go.
30 seconds, you're tight. You look a bit sort of flat, you know, up for this.
I'm usually
got a bit more energy about you.
I'm going to wait and see first.
Your time starts now. Claudio Braga joined Hearts from a club in which country?
Portugal.
Who's older, Elijah Just or Tawanda Maswanisi?
Just.
Alan Hansen joined Liverpool from which Scottish club?
Partick.
Name either Celtic player to win player and young player in the same season.
James Forrest.
How many Scottish managers have won the European Cup or Champions League?
Scottish managers? Two.
The Jail End can be found in which Scottish Championship stadium?
Ross County's.
Okay. Dominic, what's the verdict? Let's go through them and find out. Claudio Braga joined Hearts from a club in which country?
Norway.
Second tier, by the way. And might be about to waltz in here and get player of the year in his first season.
Did Dominic get that?
He did not. So good. It is 0-0. I'll come back to the 50-50 just to see. Nah, in fact, you know what? Who cares? Let's just go through them. Elijah Just is 25. Maswanisi is 23. Gordon Dale gets it, Dominic went the other way. Oh, I'm always fearful, Dominic.
I was going to go the other way.
When he gets the 50-50s right, he's one up, and then it became two because Alan Hansen, he's older, Dominic, than everybody, so he was bound to remember this. Actually, what, do you know what, how behind the curve am I? I know this was out ages ago, but I only just got around to watching that Kenny Dalglish documentary today, you know, one on Amazon.
Yeah, I've seen
about
it.
A year ago, everybody was watching it for some reason.
It's brilliant.
During my son's nap time, I thought this is a good use of my time. It's good, isn't it?
It's great. Anyway. See the fact I played against him. What a football player. See, he'd be in the same pitch as him.
But there was one in Alan Hansen had this unbelievable run forward. Do you remember the goal when he just lays it off? Yeah. That was what stuck in my head on Alan Hansen. Partick Thistle 2-0 to Gordon DL. Great knowledge from Dominic. Name either Celtic player to win Player of the Year and Young Player in the same season, which of course is perfectly possible.
Wanyama,
Aidan McGeady, and Sean Maloney. And Dominic got Sean Maloney.
Good.
Very
shout,
good. Well,
Dominic.
Done. Right back in it. 2-1. How many Scottish managers have won the European Cup or Champions League? Jock Stein, obviously.
Fergie.
Busby. 3.
Oh, I forgot about Sir Matt.
Did Dominic get it? None of you got it. So it's still.
Who did Dominic say? 2 as well?
I think 2. Yep.
Oh, Dom.
And Dominic, I was all set up for him to get this wrong, and he pulled it out the bag. The jail end is in Dingwall.
Yeah,
that's great knowledge from you.
Yeah, I know.
How do you know that?
I don't know. It's stuck. It's, that one has stuck with me for ages. I must have heard it somewhere.
I would have honestly put serious money responsibly on you not knowing that.
Yeah,
I can't believe you got that.
It stuck in my head for some reason, and when you brought it up, I thought, oh, you beauty. Did Dominic get it?
He said Somerset, your old stomping ground. So Dominic, I thought they were quite tough. You got one on the board, he got 3. Hard lines, Dominic.
Cheers, guys.
Who's your team, Dominic?
Celtic.
Right, how are you feeling this weekend compared to maybe a couple of weekends ago?
More positive. I think this game's key. I think if we win at Hibs, I kind of fancy us.
So you're another one that's like, everybody keeps wanting one more game, don't they, to make their assessment. Before we know it, everyone's going to say, I'll tell you in the last day of the season. But you think if Celtic can win this one, you must need something to give in the other game, though?
The way Maeda's been playing the last couple of weeks gives us a lot of confidence. I think having Alistair Johnston back is a massive boost as well, even with Engels as well. I think we're looking strong and coming on good. You know, so I am quietly confident, but I wouldn't be putting that on a national radio or anything.
Quietly confident. It's not a bad time if Dyson Maeda has rediscovered something. You're seeing a bit of a turnaround.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, and I think Martin O'Neill will be absolutely delighted with it. Because let's face it, last season he went on to lift every award, rightly so, banging goals in, player of the year, everything about him. He was absolutely terrific off the left wing, through the middle. Didn't matter where you played him, he was banging for him. This year he's massively dropped off, but he may just be timing that little bit of form that, you know, in the next 4 games, he could be such a big, big key player for Celtic.
Yeah, his energy, if he can replicate that performance that he'd done at the weekend for the next 4 weeks, then I think Celtic have got a serious chance. I think the game at Hibs will be season defining because they're probably expected to win against Falkirk and Hibs, and then it's game on for the rest of the split.
Is he one of the best examples of just because you know what somebody's going to do doesn't mean you can stop it? Like, there cannot be anyone, literally anyone, who's ever seen a Celtic game who doesn't know that he's going to close you down. But do you know what I mean? Like, you must be so hyper aware of it going into the game if you're a goalkeeper or a defender.
Yeah. And they still get caught.
It appears to make no difference.
Yeah.
So what is that? Is it despite all that you've played against them? Is it despite all the knowledge of it, it's still quicker than you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
How's that?
We were the one that was swinging about last year was the Bayern Munich players were in the changing room after. I think Eric Dier was close with Carter Vickers or whatever, and they were all talking about his energy. They couldn't believe it. This is the best players in the world, and they were talking about it. The semi-final the other week, we were joking, saying the boy Mullen, when the ball came, you just turn around and kick out for a throw-in and a goal kick, because when he's running it, you're scared. He's that good at pressing.
Yep. Dominic, so let me put one on you, since we've got you. No Celtic or Rangers players in the shortlist for player of the year. Who's been better against you, Just, Masuenisse, Shankland or Braga? Who wins that?
I think the boy Just has been outstanding. I think Nigrin was unfortunate, but I think he's kind of fell away a wee bit just the last maybe 6 weeks or so, which probably influences the voting, I think, maybe with the players' player of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, right? We've kind of drip fed it throughout some of the callers. You two,
I'm going Just or Braga.
That's mean that's half the list, though, isn't it?
Okay, right, so I've ruled two out right away.
It's like who wants to be a millionaire, 50-50.
Yeah, I'm going 50, okay. And I'm going to ask a friend. But I've got to say, I think Braga has been so, so important for Hearts, especially when Shanklin was out of the team. He carried the team up front, there's no doubt about that. He's scored important goals. He's been a sensation for Hearts. But I just can't get over the way this boy Just plays. I think he's outstanding footballer. I really do. Brilliant. And he's just shoot it into that Motherwell side.
There's a subtle difference sometimes. If it was up to you, you would pick Elijah Just.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think he will win?
No, I think Braga will win it.
I think Braga will win it, but I think if Masuenisse had replicated his form kind of start to mid-season in the last 3 or 4 weeks when the voting was kind of at the forefront, then I think he would have won it. He's had an amazing season, but I think Braga's probably been the most consistent, and I think, similar to Maeda, Braga does not stop running. I don't think he gets the credit for how hard he works, plus he adds a quality.
Trying to get in the mind of players, as you said, Justin Braga, I guess they're in a similar boat actually, in the sense that it's both their first season here. Yeah. So I wonder, do players come off the pitch sort of almost acknowledging that and say, like, where did they get this guy from? You would say that about both, what we covered on Beat the Pundit, Norwegian second division. I've just got this, like, particularly when it comes to, like, because that's Jamestown, you expect the magic from Jamestown, yeah, don't you? I can't get out of my head when I come from Elijah Just, like, who's this wee guy from New Zealand that's been in Denmark,
second division in Denmark, and then, was it not,
and then just walks in here. Have you seen him close up? I mean,
he looks like a jockey with a whip.
By the way,
he's so slight and he steps on that pitch and he's absolutely incredible.
They talk about Jamestown analytics as well. Credit to Motherwell's the boy Fadinga, who's also been outstanding. He's not had a shout for any of the team of the year, player of the year. And Motherwell's recruitment, getting players from these low divisions, like you say, they come in and people are more wowed by them than maybe Shankland or Masuenisse because they were here last year. How quick Braga has came and just took, he's just took the reins at Hearts and went, I'm going to press everything. I'm just going to cause chaos and help the team.
And he has scored goals, important goals. And I think added to that, I think Tony sums it up brilliantly. Seaview is not just a poacher, he's a team player.
Yeah.
He'll go and do his shift for his team. I was completely different. All I could concentrate was I might score a goal and the rest can go and do the work for me. But he is a guy, he's an all-round player. I think between they two, but I think because of where Hearts have been in the top of the league, I think because of the situation with Shanklin being out, and he scored goals, I think that'll just edge it for him.
So as good as he's been, based on that then, you're saying Shanklin can't win it really in your mind because he's not outscored Braga. Mm-hmm. But granted, because he's been out injured, but he has been out injured. So if he's below Braga in his own team and Shanklin's all about goals, is that what you're saying? Or do you still take his importance into account?
I think because of, Shanklin's had a good season. He's an important player. You've seen that when he was out of the team. How much they missed him and tried to get him back as quickly as they possibly can. And he's a guy that obviously enjoys playing up front with Braga. But I just think because of the length of the injury and because of the sort of a responsibility Braga took on his own shoulders there, Gordon. You know what I mean? Because Shanklin was a massive miss, not just in the fact in front of goals, but he's a captain, he's a leader, everything about him. I thought Braga just stepped up.
Is there also something about, you know, players who work extremely hard? We've spoke about Maeda there, but, you know, you fellow pros will notice the work rate from Braga, I'm sure.
He's a manager's dream. He's one of the first games I watched him, it was on TV, I can't remember who they played, and he was ratting about, chasing everything. You're thinking, you expect people to come from abroad, maybe a luxury player that's going to score goals, get assists. And that's probably been the difference between him and Kizaridis. I think Braga's probably outworked his bad spell. He's probably not had as long a bad spell, or maybe not even had a bad spell, whereas Kizaridis probably doesn't have that pressing power or the kind of energy that he has, and it tells. Braga can't come out of the team, and Gizaridis has probably been out for a few weeks.
I'm interested, and by the way, I don't actually disagree, but just to try and test you a bit more, none of you then are going for the league's top scorer, who's not an out-and-out striker,
mm-hmm.
but he's a top scorer in the division, mm-hmm. and scored a lot of big goals.
Maswanisi?
So why would you roll someone with those credentials
because
out?
Because I think he fell out a bit for me. He's had a brilliant season, top goal scorer, as you say, and you look at people that score goals.
I feel like he's probably only fallen out of it since the votes have been in, though, no?
Maybe, a couple of weeks before, and I think his... Braga probably affects the game more, whereas Maswanisi was probably just... Every time he got an opportunity, he seemed to put it away. Mm. Every time you seen Motherwell flash up on the phone, it was Maswanisi. And I think the fact that other players have probably performed better around him probably kills him a little bit, because your Slattery's, your Elliot Watts, your McGinn's, these guys have all performed so well. I think Braga and Shanklin to an extent, but even when Shanklin's injured, Braga held the fort. He might not have scored every game, but he still held the fort. The performances were there, and he's Hearts' main player.
There's a case for four of them. You know, we go to that dinner. If we're sitting at that dinner and somebody gets announced, whether it be Shanklin, Braga, or Maswanisi, or Judd, you would be happy for any of them, because you could turn round and say, listen, they deserve it. They've had a fantastic season. It's a good four to pick from.
01419511025 is the number, by the way, to get in touch and keep the calls coming in here until just before 8 o'clock. Graham's called in. I'll put you in the spot, Graham. Out of those four, who's the player of the year?
Hey, Braga for sure, mate.
What about him's caught your eye?
No, he's just been, his consistency of the whole season has been, he's the guy's fantastic, you know what I mean? I'm a Celtic fan, and I would take him at Celtic in a heartbeat, to be honest.
Be interesting to see. Don't get too far ahead, we don't even know if Hearts win the league yet and all that, but that it's kind of the point of Jamestown. You know, if your model is so effective, you pluck these gems, you sell them, you keep doing it, Brighton, etc. Do wonder if Hearts will face sort of attention for guys like that.
I think they will, but I think it'll be more foreign teams and English Championship teams. I don't think
he's at level of Premier League.
English Premier League?
Yeah.
I think
saying Celtic.
I think Scotland, you probably need to go down there on your stripes down in the Championship if you're coming from a lot of team. Well, don't get me wrong, if Hearts win the league, then maybe, but I think
he
Tony
might
Bloom
stick around for the Champions League next year then.
I think Tony Bloom's too well versed to be selling them to Celtic and Rangers. I don't see a world where £2-3 million gets Hearts' best.
Just to answer the question, I think he could play at Celtic, no problem.
Yeah,
I think he'd be a star at Celtic.
Yeah, agreed.
Graham, what else are you thinking tonight?
No, I was just, you hear the Celtic strike force is so bad, blah, blah, blah. But when you look at the goals, we scored 2 million Hearts, six less than Rangers. Rangers seem to be scoring for fun at the minute, but we're only six goals less than them scored. And I just think if we can beat Hibs on Sunday, then I'm hoping... No many Celtic fans will say it, but I'm hoping Rangers beat Hearts, because we need Rangers are only 1 point behind us then, but Hearts, we need to beat Hearts in the last game of the season to win the league. We need to win the four games and then we win, but we need Hearts to drop points. So
surely you just want them both to drop points on the same day when they play each other.
If Rangers beat Hearts on the Monday, if we win on the Sunday, then we'll still be 1 point in front of the Rangers.
We've only
beat Rangers, Motherwell and Hearts the last game of the season. It's in our hands. If we win the last four games, then we'll win the league. But we need Hearts to drop points.
We're going to go. To be fair, there's no right or wrong on this. But I would rather go
the other way. I'd rather Hearts beat Rangers and put Rangers.
Why not just draw the game? If
you're talking, a draw is perfect for Celtic.
Because Graham's saying he wants Rangers to win, right? And then if Celtic win at the same time, Celtic would be 1 point ahead of Rangers going into the Old Firm game, and then you've got it in your own hands. But if you draw the game, you go 3 points ahead of Rangers, ahead of that. You can afford to not.
No, I think a draw.
I disagree with both of you.
Do you?
I think if I'm Celtic manager and I've took care of the game against Hibs, you're sitting on 73 points. You don't want Hearts to go above you. You want Rangers to win because you're in control.
Graham's saying.
You're totally in control. Whereas if they draw, a draw, if you both get the results, a draw for Hearts at the end of the season is enough. I think you want to be as close to the top of the league as possible. I think a Rangers win if I'm the Celtic manager. Wow. I think
fair
that's
enough.
What you're wanting.
Graham, Tony Watt's backing you.
Well, he's a sensible lad, isn't he?
Oh, he's been called many things. My goodness.
He's been calling himself a sensible guy.
I think that helps Celtic's chances of winning the league. Don't get me wrong, no Celtic fan in the world will be hoping that Rangers win.
Graham's just... I might be putting words in his mouth. I'm sure Graham said he was going to jump up and celebrate Rangers goals.
I heard that.
Is that right, Graham?
To be honest, if we can put two by Hibs on Sunday and Rangers put two by Hearts on Monday, then we go top of the league. 1 point in front of Rangers. Happy days. Then we need to just win the last three games, and that's
simple as that. I don't want to get too carried away because this is primed for Friday night. I can just imagine this. It's what result do you want to happen? Let's not go too early. It's only Tuesday.
See, I've always said since the split, right, I don't think any of the three teams would have won all their five games. Rangers have already slipped up against Motherwell, and I don't see Hearts and I don't see Celtic winning the remaining games.
Okay, thank you, Graham. On the line, it's got my head hurting ever so slightly. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Tony Watt and Gordon Dalziel to tackle the full time teaser.
The full time teaser with Arcplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Speaking of which, I've been inundated with phone calls, messages, at least three complaints about Beat the Pundit to say I got the scores wrong. Huh? But don't worry, you still won. I think I maybe took one off the caller by accident.
What
is that? Is that the accusation?
Well, he got the player of the year, and then that was all.
I know. I don't know why people are saying I've got it wrong. Anyway,
no, but don't listen to people.
No, he got the managers right. He said three. Apparently, I thought he said two. But there you go. He said
three.
So he still won anyway. Yeah. So it didn't change anything.
No.
Good. Who cares? Right. Let's move on to the full time teaser. Grant is on the teaser. Sent one in fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last nine players to win the Player of the Year PFA Scotland one who didn't win the league that year? So the last nine players to win the PFA Player of the Year award who did not win the league last year. This is a great one for all the people that have been struggling in the last few days and saying, how can a team that's in fourth have Player of the Year? Because it's the player, Michael Higden. And okay, well done. Yep.
Shankland.
Yeah, 2024. Well done. Higden, 2013.
Did Adam Rooney win it?
No.
I think an Aberdeen player maybe.
So thanks to the sponsors, Arcplan Glasgow as always. And just a reminder, if you want to hear your question used, that's like the aim of the game, you send them in and we test the pundits. The address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com.
Celtic and Rangers as well, maybe one that won it.
Yeah.
So Shankland and Higden. I'm not giving you clues yet. So they're the last, they're the two you've got so far. Sorry.
Tavernier?
Who else for Rangers? Morelos?
Nope.
Oh, Kent?
Nope.
Alan McGregor?
No.
Too far back.
Oh, it's not.
Is it not?
Well, think about it.
Steve
Davis?
I've
asked for the last nine, and it's clearly a slight anomaly if a player wins it and doesn't win the league. Not an anomaly, but it's a bit, you know, it's going to be broken up by years that didn't happen.
So 20 years or something.
So you're
going
to go back a bit to find the last nine, surely.
Scott Brown?
You don't understand the question.
Where is it?
I'm trying to think. Scott Brown at Hibs?
No.
This is difficult.
It is. I'll give you some thinking time if you so wish. We're having a good old. Well, do you know what? He's on it for Celtic, so I need to give you it. Scott Brown is in the list.
That was fly.
2009, he won it as a Celtic player. Rangers won the league. We were talking player of the year there. Let's hear a bit from a couple of them. We've already heard from Lawrence Shankland earlier. What about Claudio Braga? He was the one we were speaking about just before. You two reckon he'll win it. He says this season's been beyond his wildest dreams, and says every game between now and the end of the season will be the biggest of his career.
I feel like it's nothing that I dream of. Could never think about this when I came to Hearts, so just be here is a privilege. I just need to be thankful to God and just appreciate the moment. Yeah, I never thought about it. Of course, like, I wanted to win silverware, and that was one of the things that we maybe wanted as a club, and maybe be top three, just try to score some goals, of course, but never thought about something this big, like be top of the league since the beginning of the season, go 4 games to go and still be top of the league, try to score a lot of goals. Like, it's just been an amazing season. Hibs was the biggest game of my career until now. Mm-hmm. So now it's Rangers. And these next 4 games will be definitely the biggest games of my career. And I would say most of the guys are sharing the locker room.
No prizes for this stuff, and I know some people don't care, but he's actually such a good character as well. Like, he's so enthusiastic. He's so, like, outgoing. He's
my new favourite player after that interview.
Just because of that.
How happy did he sound? And he just sounded so thankful. I hope he wins it now, but I do think he will win it. I do think he's been the best player in the country.
He's a good character. He is.
Yeah, it's good to see. I think he'd be a good lad to, you know, get in the morning. I think he plays away. He obviously trains away. He plays as well. You know, I think he'd put a real shift in it, his training. I don't think he'd be off it. He's came to a good club, and sometimes you just find a fit. And Hearts seem to be that fit. The fans love him. His work ethic is brilliant. He doesn't rest in his laurels. We're just scoring goals. He's prepared to put the effort in. Listen, if he wins it at the weekend, then congratulations to him.
Because if we're being totally honest, it's not like all the Jamestown signings have just been like this magic wand, and they've all been absolutely brilliant, you know, but he's been the pick of them.
Yeah,
you always need one or two to really, really become instant successes, don't you?
Yeah, I think, and we talk about experience in the title race, but in terms of experience in the country, your Shanklands, your Halkett's, your Finleys, these guys, even other players will help him succeed. But at Tynecastle, when the fans are behind you, they can turn if it's not going well as well. A guy like him, grafting away plus putting in big performances, will be a proper crowd booster, and I think he suits the way Derek McInnes wants to play.
Jim is on the phone lines. How are you, Jim?
Not bad, Gordon. How you doing, lads?
Good, thank you. Good. You, what have you got for us?
Just a quick one. I was coming back for the golf here, and I was listening to the guy that was on before, Beat the Pund. I think he was a Rangers fan, and I've got totally disagree with him. Hearts deserve to be where they are for what they've done this season. And I think, as Tony said earlier, that they've played against 9 men. It's not their fault. But twice this year, Hearts have played with 10 men and won the points.
Good point, yeah.
So I think we've got to give Hearts well. I think I remember I phoned you before Christmas, and I said that Murrow could decide the league. Obviously, I'm a Rangers fan, and I thought if Murrow could decide the league, plus if we could get a centre-forward in at New Year, I looked so much optimism in the game on Sunday. Disappointed that we couldn't get the 3 points, because we could have went to Tynecastle next week and maybe put Hearts out of the title race, possibly go to Celtic, get a draw, and then it's in our own hands. We now can't afford to drop a point anywhere. So there's so much pressure on Rangers. But again, on Sunday, fair play to Murrow. First half were outstanding. And we're just giving ourselves too much to do. But again, it's been one of those seasons. I think it's been brilliant, the three-horse race and whatever. And at the moment, I've got to admit, if we don't beat Hearts on Monday, I think Hearts will win the league.
See, just a quick aside, Jim's sparked a thought in me there about him saying, you know, if Rangers could have signed a striker. Remember, everybody kept saying in January, whoever wins the January window, yeah, I'll go on. Now, we're going to need to pause on this thought, because Rangers might win the league, we don't know yet. But I still feel like Rangers had the best January window.
By far.
Right? Because look, Romans has had a proper impact. Chukwuanyi's come in and played every game. Not saying he's been outstanding, but he's been decent, and he's played pretty much every game. Nadiri injured at the moment. Celtic's January signings have not made a dent, and actually the ones Hearts. So despite everybody being so sure of that, Rangers are third at the moment. Rangers might win the January window, but no win the league. Everybody was so sure in January was that just a nice phrase that people liked throwing out then?
Yeah, because obviously the January window was important. I think Celtic made a complete mess of it, you've got to be honest.
That's what I mean, was it important?
We still don't know who's won the league. End up in Portland.
Okay, like if they call it tonight, Rangers are third. But their January signings probably have had the biggest impact of the three clubs.
I think what happened, quite simple, and I know it was a little bit later. The fact that Hearts get Devlin and Shanklin back,
yeah,
you know what I mean, so important to them. Obviously, Finlay's another big player that they've missed at centre half. I think he's back soon as well for a run-in. So that's a boost.
Oh, he played at the weekend. That was his first game back.
That's such a boost for them. So, look, we don't know who's going to win the league, but I do agree with Jim.
Stuart Finlay was back before that.
Was he back before the weekend? Oh, sorry. But I've got to say, I totally agree with Jim. If Rangers don't pick up a win at Tynecastle, it's all over.
Is this where, Jim, the sort of the running out of games bit kicks in? Because you're saying you think Motherwell, you know, can help decide it. They've beaten Rangers already. Hearts and Celtic both need to go there. So there's a chance Motherwell will do something, but you need to make sure you're still in it by that point, don't you? And don't get the defeat at Tynecastle in the next game.
That's totally. That's how the win at Firth Park. I was quite happy with the split, having Motherwell and Hibs at Ibrox, because we struggle at Easter Road and Firth Park. But we had to win on Sunday there to put pressure on Hearts and Celtic. That we could have went to Hearts, beat Hearts at Tynecastle, and Celtic we were capable of beating, but now we have to go. And Motherwell, you said, have still got two of them to play. It could all be up in there, but we've got. If we don't get 3 points on Monday, I believe we can't win the league. It was a big disappointment on Sunday, the way we get beat. Falkirk first half and Motherwell first half was the poorest we've played this year. And we're putting a lot of emphasis to it. We get back into the game. Chamiti misses a great chance before Motherwell score the winner. But we just have to take the chances when we're given them. We're missing too many big chances, and that could cost us come the running. But nothing against Motherwell. Deserved their win. The best team I've seen this year played against at Rangers and at Firth Park. They play the ball well, they don't stop running, and again, they deserve their victory on Sunday.
I don't know if this counts for anything, Gordon, but if Jim, we're talking about Jim saying about Motherwell being playing a big part, it felt like, based on the three games previously against Rangers, I don't know if due a win is the right phrase, but you know what I mean, the two draws at Firth Park, they probably were the better team in both. Is that fair? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were maybe quite unlucky to, or you know, lose the game at Ibrox. I think that they've already beaten Celtic. Hearts is going to be interesting, I think. Motherwell 3-0 up at Tynecastle, drew the game.
Half time, yeah.
0-0 at Firth Park, I think we're the better team, not by loads that day. And then actually played really well in a 3-1 defeat a couple of weeks ago and missed loads of chances. So it'll be interesting to see if they can finally get a win in that one in a couple of weeks' time.
See the fact that after the weekend, going to Ibrox, getting that win, the way they played in the first half as well. I don't know what one it is, but I think Motherwell will either beat Celtic or Hearts at Firth Park.
But only one of them?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they'll need to bounce back from their inevitable defeat to Falkirk in the next game, though, because Falkirk will beat Motherwell. Falkirk have got Motherwell's number.
Oh, I know that.
So they play them next.
Motherwell are
due. Get your house on John
Falkirk. Yeah. Falkirk have got the making of Motherwell, but for Hearts and Celtic to go to Firth Park, they are two big games for them.
Okay, thank you very much to Jim on the line. You two have got a fairly tricky teaser tonight. Can you name the last 9 players to win Player of the Year who didn't win the league that season? So Lauren Shankland in 2024, of course, Hearts didn't win the league. Michael Higden was the Motherwell player who won it 2013. They didn't win the league. Did you know what's the significance to that year and this year? What's the link?
That Motherwell finished and
nope. So that before this season,
goals.
Before this season, that was the last season that there was no Celtic or Rangers players on the shortlist. 2013.
Right.
I can tell you're both really engrossed in that fact.
Yeah, it's one I'll put down. I'll take later. What about Izaguirre? Did he?
Yes, well done. 2011, Rangers won the league. Izaguirre was Player of the Year.
I'm struggling now, mate.
Sean Maloney?
No, we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Right, still time to sign up for Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz. It's taking place at the Barras Art and Design Centre tomorrow, 6:30. Thanks to our sponsors, Cairnhill Structures. We've got brilliant prizes, and it's hosted by our very own George and Cassie as well. Every ticket sold helps support Cash for Kids, meaning the most vulnerable children right here in our communities across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire. So get a team together, get your tickets at Clyde1.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Tony Watt and Gordon DL. There is still time to squeeze in a call if you're that way inclined. You've heard something that's annoyed you, or even if it feels bad but you've agreed with it and you need to admit that to us, that's fine as well. Anything else, maybe something we've not covered that you'd like to hear, 01419511025. You two were making slowish progress, I would call it, on the full time teaser. It's a good one, it's topical. We always, I feel like we do every variation of player of the year teasers at this time of the season, because mm-hmm. that's the mood that everybody's in. So who are the last nine to win it who did not win the league that year? And we're talking the PFA award, of course. So Shankland, Higdon, Izaguirre and Scott Brown, you've got.
I'm going to go to winners that I can remember being at the dinner. Lee Griffiths?
Nope.
He won it.
I don't know. Yeah. If, well, listen, he's not on the list. That's good all Willie. We need to know. Nope.
Chris Collins?
Griffiths, maybe young player or football writers young player? Or something.
Barry Robson?
Nope.
Was Chris Collins not won?
No.
I'm sure I was there and he won it.
Yeah, but they have to have not won the league that season.
I know. I'm
just Aidan McGeady?
No.
Just throwing out names here. Stephen Davis?
No.
Kevin Thompson?
No. Right, we're going.
We're going everywhere.
We're going back, though. No.
We're going back, back.
Back.
So it's the early 2000s for all of these. And in fact,
Barry Ferguson.
Just before for some of them.
Barry Ferguson?
No.
Chris Sutton?
No, close though.
Harry Larson?
Yes. And?
John Larson?
Yes. Okay, nice. Right, we're getting there, sort of. Dear me, three to get. That's unbelievable. Which of the players have we not heard from? I think we've done most. Oh, what about the man that Gordon DL says he would pick as his player of the year? Elijah Just. He claims it's been easy to stay away from transfer rumours and all that stuff after his impressive season and remains fully focused on securing fourth spot.
In terms of the interest, of course, you notice it, and it is always nice, but I've told my agent that I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to know any of the clubs that have called, if any, because, yeah, I've been playing well and I don't want to jeopardise that. For me, this has been somewhat of a breakthrough year. I've been enjoying so much playing for Motherwell. I've been loving being part of the locker room, part of the team. Every transfer window, there's players going in and out, so just have to wait and see. In the beginning of the year, I don't think the expectation was for us to finish in a European spot, but the way we've played, the way we feel about our ability as a team, I do think there'd be, you know, a lot of disappointment if we didn't finish in a European spot.
Is that like you? You say that to your agent? Listen, I don't want to know if any clubs are interested in me.
No, I phone him every day. He doesn't answer.
What's my next contract?
Do you know what though?
Don't get any younger.
I'll take Elijah Just's word for it. And I don't feel like I've seen loads of transfer rumour purely. And that's what I think so fascinating about this Motherwell team. They're so good within this structure. They're so good at what they, and the players have been excellent. They've got five in the team and two in the player shortlist. But you do wonder what the next step is for some of them, because it might not be in a system like this. It might not be in a team that's got this type of instruction or this clarity. As an exact, the ones that people keep going to, and I'm sure the guys I'm about to mention are getting fed up of it. Stephen O'Donnell's now a rampaging left back at Ibrox, setting up two goals. If teams go in the summer and go, right, we need a new left back, I don't, you know, we like the big guy who comes in here. I don't think that's.
Yeah, yeah.
So similarly, Just has been outstanding, but also you feel like in the wrong system, if it's a team that kicks the ball above his head, you know, it won't. So I'm fascinated to see what the next step is for some of them.
Yeah, I think.
I hope it's the Conference League with Motherwell next season first, though.
I do agree with you. I think they all play their part. You know, the managers went in there, and the style of football that he plays, everybody's bought into it. He's improved every single player.
Yeah.
You know, so it will be interesting to see if they go out as individuals and get into another team that don't play the same style, and they've got the freedom to go and play the rotations that they do at Motherwell, because obviously this manager encourages them to get about the pitch. They just don't stick. You know, it's like we were talking there. Maswanisi has scored top goal scorer, plays out on the right hand side, he pops up on the left, he'll drop into Midley Park. So sometimes it is the team that suits you, and obviously just now he's just fitted right into this Motherwell side, and he brings an abundance of talent with him, if you've got to be honest.
I'll never forget Steny away, League Cup group stage, supposed to be summer, the worst rain I have ever experienced in a football game. Elijah Just's baggy Motherwell shirt is hanging off him. He's on the Astro. I'm thinking, who is this guy? No offence, but you know, it was Scottish, that kind of vibes about it at the start.
It's hard to come to Scotland that size for a start. And
what?
Not be judged.
What a transformation.
He's a classy player. I think he'll have a lot of offers in the summer because of just how good he is on the ball. He can go and mix it at a very, very good level. But I think a lot of them will, to be honest. It just depends how much Motherwell got to ask for them. And I think this kind of 12 to 18 month period is going to really put Motherwell in a very, very strong position for years to come in terms of the transfer fees they can demand. The manager, if he goes, will get a transfer fee. And then you're talking the goalkeeper, like you say, he could go and play somewhere, a ball playing team.
It's not going to be empty left on.
I know, I don't think they will, but they'll end up with £15 million in the bank, and I think they'll be happy enough.
And when Paul McGinn stars for Scotland at the World Cup, then maybe get a last minute
Saudi
late,
or something.
Late again,
no, I think, like you say, I think boys like that have shown they can do it in Scotland. If they were out of contract, they would probably get the moves, but the ones that will demand fees will probably be the boy Watt, Fadinger, Just, Maswanisi, and the goalkeeper. And I think it could be a lot of money for Motherwell.
But speaking of which, Maswanisi says he's open to staying at the club if they secure European football for next season.
100%, if Motherwell, if it's European football. That's the next step in my football journey. So yeah, obviously I've said I want to play European football, and obviously more Motherwell are going to be in a European, you know, position next season. So hopefully, it's a good European journey.
Does he's talking on the pitch?
He's a good player.
I think we'll see. No, I think
listen,
more of a player than a talker.
Listen, I love the way they're all sitting there talking about how much they bought into Motherwell, the club, and everything. But let's not be kidding. If the bigger money, the pounds notes come flying in for them, they're off and running. Let's be honest, and quite rightly so. Yeah. It's a short career. You've got to make as much money. You can make a case from them all. You know, he's been excellent. He's been absolutely excellent. And he's just a part of the system that the manager plays to. My biggest fear for Motherwell is not the players they've got to lose, because they will lose players. There'll be people looking at these guys. It's the actual guy that's in the dugout for me, the manager.
I think, please don't quote me on this, which I might regret. It's either tomorrow or I think it's tomorrow that the shortlist for manager of the year comes out. Would you expect the Motherwell manager to be on it?
I certainly think he's got a lot of fans. I really do. I'll put my hat out there right away and say that if I was Celtic, this is a guy I would go and get. I think he knows the game inside out. His style of football, I think the Celtic fans would absolutely love. No disrespect to the Motherwell players, but he'd be dealing with a high-class, better player, if you know what I mean.
You two get to predict. The guys tomorrow can react. What sort of names would you expect to be on the manager?
Derek McInnes, without a shadow of doubt.
I think Askew's got to be in it. I think he's came and like we say, the results in the park, all well and good. He's improved players, and now we've got boys worth £2, £3, £4 million. He has, on and off the pitch, he has done a remarkable job.
Of course, bearing in mind, lower league managers vote as well, so you could be looking at
Mike Kennedy,
Mark Wilson, maybe.
We'll give Mark a shout. Try and get
give
him
a wee see
of Alec Kennedy. Why not? If he's in the shortlist, I'm absolutely
Gary Neesmith.
Done a good job.
Mike Kennedy, back to back. Well, he gets Isco Bride up. Right, and I think the unfair label at him is, they've got money and everything like that.
Youngest squad in the leagues, isn't it?
Yeah, he's done a brilliant job.
Well, so look forward to the 16-man shortlist for manager of the year, according to these two. Right, teaser time, finish it off. The last 9 players to win player of the year, PFA award, but didn't win the league that season. Shankland, Higdon, Izaguirre, Brown, Hartson, Larson. 3 more Celtic, because think of that, late 90s, early 2000s, Rangers are winning a lot, but Celtic had some good individuals.
Lennon?
No, before that.
Lambert?
Nope.
Ooh.
Well, I'd say before that, there's a kind of crossover there. So, 97.
Alan Thompson?
97.
97.
Oof,
goodness me.
Maravchuk.
Italian.
Di Canio.
Yes. Australian.
Viduka.
Yes. And another Italian, this time Rangers defender.
Amoruso.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Tony Watt and Gordon Dalziel. Super Scoreboard back for you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your evening.